All right, we're continuing our study of the book of Proverbs in chapter 12. So if you would turn to Proverbs 12:22. Proverbs 12:22, we're going to take a look at this proverb that reads, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Now, words are very interesting. We know God's word is what we study. God's word is what we try to have planted in our hearts. The words that we speak communicate our desires, our needs, our praises, our thanksgiving. Words are a wonderful thing. And they're interesting when you consider how they sound. For many times, just the sound of them communicates whether they are words that speak good things or evil things. Now, we have such words in our proverb today, for we are given to focus our attention on the word lying, and the word abomination, and the word truly, and the word delight. Now, when we even hear the sound of the words lying and abomination, there is communicated to us negative feelings. But when we hear the sound of truly and delight, it is the exact opposite. Just in the sounds of those words, there is communicated something to us. For lying and abomination are words belonging to the sphere of Satan, the devil, but truly and delight belong to the eternity of God, and because of this, these words will pass the test of time. Now, lying and abomination are words that do not belong in heaven, for they are words confined to this fallen planet, and they are only related to time. They will be part of that which passes away, for all things become new to the child of God. Now, in our last lesson, we learned the Bible makes it very clear that God will not tolerate evil. Our God is holy. Oh, he's holy. We don't understand how holy he is, but our God is holy, separate. He will not tolerate evil. We know that he's long-suffering. The Bible tells us that he's long-suffering. Look how long he suffered with us. Look how long he suffers with the world. Oh, he's long-suffering, and he's not willing that any should perish. You know, if you're in the senior group, God gives you 70 years to prepare for old age. Did you know that? It takes 70 years to get ready for old age, but within that 70 years, you have an opportunity to learn about God and to know God and to receive Christ as your Savior. Now, should it take that long? Well, sometimes it takes that long to get through hard heads. But God's not willing that any should perish, but long suffering does not mean eternal suffering. And therefore, he is careful to tell us in what he is offended. You know, God's offended. He's offended by the wicked. And to do this, he uses the strong word abomination, which means a disgusting thing, a detested, abhorred, loathed, and despised thing. Now, you ladies have a big roach in your house, in the living room. Oh, you go into despising mode, don't you?
Oh, I hate that. That's disgusting.
And then big old brave husband comes over and puts his foot down, picks it up with his fingers, doesn't eat it. But that's disgusting. But God sees lying as an abomination. Disgusting, detested, abhorred. There can hardly be a stronger word than that word abomination. It's always associated to the Bible. You don't hear that on the news, do you? Oh, the terrorists are an abomination. You never hear that. But here he says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So by rightly dividing the word of God, and that's what we ought to do, don't be hasty in reading the Bible and coming to a conclusion. Rightly divide the word of God. Go in other places and find out about that, how it all fits together. So we ought to study to see what other things God declares to be an abomination to him. What's the category of things that God puts in that he says are abomination to him? Now, it's so easy to dilute definitions in order for us to not fit into categories which are distasteful. Oh, that doesn't apply to me. We somehow figure out some way to define ourselves out of things that are distasteful. So men easily called lying lips, little white lying lips, or fibbing lips, or little misstatements said because the end justifies the means. Oh, we're so good at that. Things said so as to favor the speaker, but said thinking that no harm will be caused. You know, it's an amazing thing how transparent our administration in power is. I mean, you can see right through them. They're so transparent. They said they would be transparent, did they not? I mean, you can see right through them. We hear words, well, misspoke. Oh, what does misspoke mean? Or incorrect promises. You promised your, okay, children, we're going to go to Disney World today, or this week, this month, this year. And then they say, when are we going to go to Disney World? The year's almost over. Well, it was an incorrect promise. Oh, that'll satisfy. That'll satisfy, won't it? But these are soft substitutes for the harsh word, and you've heard it on television. When the commentators are, would you say that he lied? Well, I don't know if I want to go that far. But that's our culture today. It seems our culture is in love with shading things in order to get its way. We have redefined lying to be that which is true except for a few minor differences. And who cares about minor differences anyway? What's the big deal, we say? Or the wonderful word that I despise, abhor, whatever. You know, what do you mean whatever? Is it okay for a meteor to hit you in the head? Oh yeah, whatever. You know, come on, get some commitment, get some depth to yourself. Take a stand. It's hard to find people that'll take a stand for things. But God, and remember that God is holy and separate from sin, he cares. For he includes lying as an abomination in a list that includes homosexuality, bestiality, idolatry, burning children to idols, the wearing of clothes of the opposite gender, and even the sacrifice of the wicked, which is pretended religion. Now, that's what he puts lying in. Those things. Now, these are God's thoughts. And being conformed to the image of Christ, they ought to be the thoughts of the children of God. My, how you see people who say they're children of God, redefining things. This is the age of redefining, so they fit within what they say the scriptures say. If God sees lying as disgusting and detestable as the burning of children to idols, then we as believers must also have that mind. That's the mind of Christ. Now, God knows no such thing as little white lies or fibs. For God is truth, and truth has no place or toleration for such deception. You know, Jesus in John 8:44, when he rebuked the Pharisees, said this about Satan. Ye are of your father the devil. He was talking to the Pharisees. He says, ye are of your father the devil. Boy, Jesus was pointed. Wasn't he pointed? And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Jesus Christ said no truth in Satan. That's why he's called the lie. No truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, God is all truth. And therefore, Satan is all lie. And everything he does is based on lie, for everything he does denies God. Satan denies God in all things. Truth is up here. Satan is over here denying God. Everything, deny, 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 deny. And everything he puts in place denies God. Now, when you know your adversary is the father of lies and opposes God in every way, it is easy to understand how God despises and finds disgusting liars and their lies, for all lies are generated from Satan, the father of lies. Now, it is part of his world system, which the Bible tells we're not to love. We're not to love this world system, not to love the world. Part of the world system is lying. But truth will win out. For Satan's destiny, we're told, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. His destiny is in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and those who are liars shall join him there. For God says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and what? All liars. See how they fit into this? How God detests this. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And in verse 27 of the same chapter, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, you better make sure you have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. How do you do that? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon him. Cling to him for your Savior. Now, God not only calls lying an abomination, he includes it within seven things listed in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, which he hates. He not only says this is an abomination, but he says, I hate this. Now, if God calls lying an abomination and that which he hates, his children must have his heart about this. You know, parents, when your child lies, you got to make a big fuss over it. I mean, you make a big fuss over it. I don't know what's in you to make a big fuss over, but you've got to make a big fuss over it. This is a big deal. That's where lying is. The seeds are planted when they're little. You just don't know. Isn't he cute? You know, nowadays that's what you. Nowadays the reaction. Oh, isn't he cute? That's not the biblical reaction. So we must have his heart about this, and with God's help, never let this sin into their lives. And this mind must also be pressed into their children by bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which will result in children obedient to their parents and then to the Word of God. Why does it say children obey your parents? Well, it's a transitionary function. That doesn't end there. It transitions into obedience to God. So you're there, you're part of the equation to get him to obey God. Don't you want him to obey God? Don't you want him to go to heaven? Don't you want him to have eternal life? So you get him to obey you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, these seven things that God hates includes a proud look. Wow, there's a lot of proud looks around. I mean, you look on television, you say, there's a proud look, there's a proud look, there's a proud look. There are proud looks all over the place. They're so cocky and proud. Think they know it all. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. God hates these things. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates that. Now, lying is mentioned only twice. But all of these hated things grow because of lies. What is a proud look but a lying look to cover the reality of a wicked heart? That's what a proud look is. It's a lie. It's as if there's no wickedness in me. But it's expressed in the proud look. What are hands that shed innocent blood and feet that run to mischief, but hands and feet which are directed by a lying mind which denies that God seeth him? You know, the Bible says, God seeth me. Every place I go, God seeth me. I can't get away from his vision. Who is he but a liar who sows discord among brethren as he spreads untruth for his own advantage? You have that in churches. You have that in groups. Spreading untruth, gossip, untruths. Be careful about spreading things you don't know to be true. Now, when God hates something, you can be sure that he will establish slippery places for those to fall who do such things. Is that black ice a slippery place? Bill, is that black ice a slippery place? Yeah, okay. Well, there's an example of slippery places. You got to tiptoe out there and be careful. But God has those slippery places for the wicked. God will not let lying lips prosper, for God is angry with the wicked every day. You know, David in Psalm 7 tells of a prepared sword. The picture is there's a sword over the wicked's head all the time. If God would reveal that to you, there's a sword hanging over their head. And he has a bow with arrows pictured in Psalm 7, ordained against the wicked, a pit dug for others in which the wicked fall and the mischief to others returning upon their own head. That's how God's system works. God hates lying because he is God. Truth cannot coexist with falsehood and still be truth. Numbers 23:19 reminds us this. God is not a man. Oh, he's the grandfather in heaven. Now, God's a man in Jesus Christ, but this verse is talking about the Godhead. God is not a man that he should lie. Don't bring God down to your level, he's telling us. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God never repents. He never says, oh, I was wrong. I got to correct this. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Is there any promise in the scripture that God's going to fail? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, lying belongs to the fallen nature of man. Lying is earthy. Lying is temporal. Here for a known period, but will be banished for eternity. What a wonderful, refreshing thought. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be with Christ where lying is banished for eternity? Now, truth belongs to our sovereign. Truth belongs to our Almighty God. Truth belongs to our Father in heaven, who in Psalm 86:15 tells us he is plenteous, meaning abundant in mercy and truth. God's word is abundant in declaring that the Lord is the God of truth. It declares that truth is God's nature. It declares that he himself is truth. When Jesus said, "I am the truth," truth is a person. Truth is a person. So if anything can be declared the exact opposite of God, the exact opposite of truth, it is a lie, for the lie in all its forms is contrary to the nature and character of God Almighty. You see how important this is? So with this in mind, all lies are actions which in reality are against God, for all lies oppose truth. Truth is a person. Now, we certainly know what Proverbs 26:28 means when it says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it." God's word is reality. We sugarcoat things. We soften things. We lighten up on things that are heavy. But it says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it." When lies are told about another, it will always hurt the one lied about. Lies hurt. It hurts us. We feel that hurt. But imagine the affront that lies bring to the one who is all truth. For all lies of the earth bombard him, focusing his wrath, which one day will be exercised against all liars. For what is all sin? You think about what sin is. Sin is an affront against a holy God, and the act of lying in God's eyes is at the forefront of abomination. Now, if you are a Christian, if you are one who is born of the Spirit of God, if you are one who loves the Lord and wants to do His will, you welcome the working of the Spirit of God in your life. Isn't the Spirit of God wonderful to you? He brings gifts. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. All of those things the Holy Spirit brings. You welcome the working of the Spirit of God in your life. You desire to grow in the Lord, and growing in the Lord means to be more like Jesus, doesn't it not? Now, God has predestined His children to be conformed to His Son, and part of that conforming is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. You know, the culture is at war with you. The culture wants you to think this way. God says, think this way. So God hates lying, and we are to hate lying. Proverbs 13:5 reminds us of this. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Now, we of course remain in this body until God calls us home, gives us a new body. And we can still be guilty of this, what God calls an abomination. So we're not immune to lying, are we? Agur, the writer of Proverbs 30, asked for God to remove from him vanity and lies. That was a prayer of Agur. Remove from me vanity and lies. Oh, how easy it is to fit into vanity of life, wasting your life. He knew his own weakness, but asked for help from God who giveth liberally. The psalmist of 119:29 also recognized this problem of deceit, for he pled of God, "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." You know, God is so good to us, for he knows our infirmity. God knows all your infirmities. He knows our tendency to shave the truth that we ourselves be favored. A lot of times that pops up when When there's something that you may be favored about, you do shade the truth. We've stretched the truth. We may, even on a daily basis, it may be part of our nature to embellish things. Are you a fisherman? Do you embellish your catch? Do you talk about it? Nowadays they'd say, take a picture of it. Well, there's Photoshop where you can stretch fish. So you be careful of that. But you know, we may even hide truth from our husband or our wife, which is simply lying in our hearts. When we sell something, do we reveal its flaws or hide them in trying to deceive? That's lying too. Oh, this car is perfect. It only has 300,000 miles, but it's perfect. You embellish things to benefit. Parents, do you keep promises to your children or just say things in order to keep the peace? Have we kept our vows, or do we just think of vows as words to be spoken and then forgotten? Oh, how vows have become a ritual in weddings. They're just rituals. You know, the other day, I heard a woman recalling her wedding vows relating to obeying her husband. I was interested in listening to her. And then she made light of those vows by saying she does what she wants regardless of what her mate says. Didn't think much of vows. It was just a ritual, just something to say, just get through the ceremony. But it's so sad that people think so little of truth, for that is what you think when vows are not kept. Vows not kept are lies to God. You know, better to refrain, the Bible says, from vows than to make vows that you won't keep. But God wants to delight in His children. God is truth, but He doesn't delight unless delight is called for by right and honest doings of His children. He doesn't delight falsely. You know, that's a lesson to us, for so many times we lie to our children by false delight. Oh, that happens quite frequently, doesn't it? False delight expressed in inflated recognition of things our children do. You know, I think about the ball field. I bring this up a lot. But if lies would be pictured as balloons and you looked over the ball field, it would be filled, the skies would be filled with balloons. For every balloon would represent a lie that's being told at the ball field. You know, you will hear praise like great work, son, awesome daughter, using the word awesome in a human sense, spoken for things that are mediocre at best. What is this but flattery, which is usually simply lies? So we're to be careful with inflated praise, for you are simply teaching sophisticated ways of telling lies. You know, God, it says in our proverb, He delights in those who deal truly. God delights in those who simply speak the truth, no matter what the outcome. Now, truly means trustworthy, faithfulness, without guile or hidden motives. It means what you see is what you get. There are no embellishments in truly. The contrast is between lips that speak truth and lips that speak lies, and the contrast is between how God looks upon those lips. He says lying lips are offensive. Lying lips are an abomination, but I delight in true lips. You know, God delights every day when His children proclaim truth. He so takes pleasure in those that honor truth, and in them He shows favor and goodwill and acceptance. God is pure in what delights Him, for only that which reflects His character is approved of Him. You know, Samuel rebuked Saul for not obeying God in slaying Agag the Amalekite when he said in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, God wants us to serve Him. He wants us to do good works. But He says, obeying me is better than the sacrifices and offerings. Obey me. Speak truly. Don't lie. I'm truth. I want you to be truth. He delights in obedience to His word, for He knows that will result in fruit for eternity. What a lesson that proverb is to us. God is black and white. He says, this is offensive, and this I love dearly, and I'm delighted in. We ought, as Christians, want to delight our Father in heaven. Father, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful proverb this morning. We pray, Lord, that we have imparted to this dear group the truth of your scripture. And help us, Lord, to have this kind of heart. Help us, Lord, to train up our children in the way that they ought to go. And the way they ought to go is the Bible way, the truth of the scriptures. Help us, Lord, to do that, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.